with a renewed conviction this evening. Friend, I want to tell you, for those of you who trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior from wrath and hell and judgment, you can trust that God is in control of your life for your good. It will end well for you. I promise you. When this roller coaster of life is over, whatever it throws at us as believers, we know that it'll end with seeing our God for the first time face to face. That we will enter into the reward that He's laid up in His lavish goodness. God has said to the believer, tarry a little while. Sow your seed. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Sow and water. Labor. The day is short. Pray about things, right? Strive. Fast. Go after. Love your wives and husbands, respective to whether you're a man or a woman, married to one woman or to one man. Do these things. And there's a reward to come. There's a rest to come. Folks, serving Jesus will never be boring, and it will never be uneventful. Do it. Christian, you can't miss. Just for a moment, and many of you listening to this know this full well, but for some of you who might not, if there is a God so majestically, mind-bogglingly, infinitely, untouchably omniscient and omnipotent. He knows everything. He's over everything. He controls everything. His power is unlimited. He knows without effort that the bush from which I just, if you heard that, plucked one leaf, his count just dropped. And it means nothing to Him. It's not like God is juggling dishes here, trying to keep them spinning on the sticks. Somehow, without expecting us to really be able to wrap our minds around it, the Bible presents to us a God like that. Hairs on your head are numbered. Sparrows don't fall unless He authorizes it. Everything in your life, He makes a way of escape, even when suffering comes in. Friends, all of that, just to illustrate what I'm saying, all of that in this God, if there is a God like that, you should want to prove Him in your short time in this life. And how do you do that? By being faithful where He puts you. By doing what seems good to you to do in your life now. The secret to the Christian life, I've said it many times, I'll say it again here, isn't what you don't know about God. It's almost never that. In fact, it is never that. If you want to call it a secret or a key, you might say, to serving and enjoying God and trusting in Him fully is not based on tomorrow and what you might learn of Him. It's based on the obedience and the trust you have in Him right now, this very day. And if God is God, the Bible says things like He looks throughout the world to find those on whose behalf He could show Himself strong. Is that you? Or are you just believing? Are you just believing for a nice, comfy little life? No waves, maybe a couple of toys, maybe a big screen TV. And if I could just get that and maybe a trip to Marseille, I'm good. Boring. If that's all we want, if that's all we will think and ask God for, maybe that's all we get. But what about you? What about tonight? Because you don't have to work yourself up into this. I don't have to whip up your emotions. You, yeah, let's do that for Jesus. No, the secret's going to be just drawing near to Him in your everyday life. Letting Him show you His providence. How when you get, oh man, let me just say this. This is on my mind. I'm just going to back up for 1 second. You come into church on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night or whenever you attend, Thursday evening, whatever. You come into the church and you've just had something rotten happen in life. It could be something as unexpected as your air conditioner going out in Florida in September. It could be something far more severe. Okay, that just kind of scared me. There's a donkey literally neighing in the darkness. Okay, we're cool. I like to record these things outside next to this beautiful lake where I'm walking. And I just never heard that donkey go off. And it was sorry. Okay. So, as Dr. White would say, so Moses was in the bulrushes. where were we, right? I always look forward to him saying that, by the way. When he says it, I just kind of yell, huzzah, or something. It's always fun to hear Dr. White say, so Moses was in the bulrushes. You go into church on a Sunday morning, and it could be something far more severe. Maybe cancer. Maybe you're trying to have a baby, and you can't, and you just got that word. You're the man, you're the woman, and you can't. Or maybe you're trying to adopt a child and it's just falling through. It's not going well. Maybe you're fostering and you've grown attached and the mom wants the baby back and it's killing you, but you're there. Maybe it's a child that's come out as gay and broke your soul with a turning from Christ in this. Whatever it is, some wherever you are, maybe just money's not making it, your job's not great, you're contemplating what's next and worried, and the anxieties that build in our lives that Satan uses so often. Folks, we should all be grateful. Those of us who live in the U.S., I know some of you who listen to this don't. Maybe you live in Pakistan and you're listening to this. I know some brothers, sisters who do. You're facing persecution like we don't here in the West, at least right now. And we should all be grateful that our stressors are money instead of physical harm. Amen? But the same devil is at work to make you doubt, fear, and not understand the same God. And so wherever we are, in whatever we're struggling, in whatever generation the church has struggled, by the way, ups, downs, ebbs, flows, same doubts, same fears, same devil, same faith that we need to learn to live out. But you come into the church and you've got something like that on your heart. I thought God was leading me in a certain direction. Today, He revealed He's not. And I'm devastated. My heart sunk down to my ankles. I lost my physical voice for a little bit with sadness and heaviness of heart. But here I am sharing this message tonight because God has been faithful. His grace is sufficient. He has reminded me of 100 things that I wasn't thinking about where He is at work around me, and I need to get to work in that. And so I'm reminding myself in this as much as I'm reminding you that God is so faithful to His promises. I get upset with Him sometimes, right? Or we can. Like maybe this job I was hoping for that I didn't get today. We get upset for God for not getting stuff that we never got a promise from Him we'd get. Don't fall into that trap, friends. God promises to guide your steps. He doesn't promise to guide them everywhere you think He's guiding them. Amen? But you come into the church, I'm sorry, and you get the song guy or the song gal up there, and I just despise it when the church just jumps into boisterous song. Y'all ready to worship Jesus today? I mean, frankly, you want to yell out sometimes, no, but I'm here. So maybe we start with something else, remembering that many people in our churches are dealing with certain things that are weighing them down, and they don't want to sing Taylor Swift type sounding crap. Sorry, it's a strong word, crap. Unpleasant stuff. But could the singing remind us at some point why we should be able to sing? Why we actually did come to Jesus, right? We get to that joyous song because we're reminded by the church and by the normal use of God's ordinary grace therein, we're reminded of why we came to Jesus. The promise of deliverance. True, actual, complete pardon from sin and peace that endureth. His own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings, all mine, 10,000 beside, right? I mean, these kind of songs that might remind us, folks, like that, I want to remind you that even when things go awry, and they surely will, from what we can tell, from what we think, God is still God. Can we trust Him? Well, by His grace alone, we can. We can't trust Him because of our own strength. We know that we can trust Him because of the strength that He provides. This is all over Scripture. Like you lean on a staff, or we might say today, a crutch. You find the strength in the thing. It's only when you lean on it that you can do that. And God's Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit Himself, who is with us and brings us along in life, we know His strength when we lean upon Him. When we trust, even when the world would say, why are you still trusting? You know, Job's wife, right? Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. That's the world. Are you still carrying? I'll never forget. Do not watch the movie if you haven't, because it's pure filth. But there's an insightfulness there, unintended by the director and the writers. It's a movie with Al Pacino and Keanu Reeves called The Devil's Advocate. And in the scene, the certain scene, Pacino, who plays the devil, gives this speech. And man, I tell you, it is very descriptive. It's almost like a screw tape letter from a guy or whoever wrote it, a gal or multiple, that wasn't intending it. It describes our day very well and the deceitfulness of sin, the power of sin. All these things that go on in this speech, I mean, it's really terrifying. And, you know, the subtlety of it mixed with the explosive... One of the lines the guy gives in the movie is, who are you carrying all those bricks for? God? And then he mocks God in the scene. And he says, guilt, my boy, is like a bag of bleep bricks. All you gotta do is set it down. Yeah, that's the world talking. Why are you carrying those bricks? Set him down. He's not faithful. But friend, what he's got for you, if you will lean not on your own understanding, but on Christ alone as your all-sufficient guide, trusting that he's guiding your life, make your decisions, you will find the strength that the world says ain't there because they've never leaned on him. Have you? And if you haven't, don't you want to? The Bible says you can have this assurance in your life. Here's how you know, listener, you're in the will of God. And I've preached on this enough times, but if you haven't heard it, how do you know you're in the will of God? I want you to hear that. You read your Bible. You know your Bible. There's no substitute. Do the study. Do the work. Dive in. Get good teachers. Let them guide you through. There's a lot of great studies out there you can look at with ministries. You can go through whole books of Scripture from beginning to end. And just do it while you're driving to work, while you're walking, while you're at the beach, while you're at the gym. You know, do that study. There's no substitute for just knowing your Bible. So I invite you to that. Let this website be a resource for you, I hope. To study your Bible better. Master as much as you think you can of the book, and it will inform your decisions. To be led by the Holy Spirit is for the Christian, born again, has God as Father, is reconciled to God through the cross. Being led by the Holy Spirit means you know the Word of God, and you can live your life according to its counsel. That's what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit. More specifically, you might say in Romans 8, putting to death the deeds of the flesh. That's what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit, verses 12 to 17 of Romans 8. But in your life, this principle holds. To be led by the Holy Spirit is to know the Word of God. And when you make decisions, do business, love your wife, be a father, be a friend, work for the city, you guide, your life is guided by the counsel of God. That's what it means. We have inspired word. The Holy Spirit speaking is there. When Jesus battles the Pharisees, those who weren't listening to the Holy Spirit and led by him, when Jesus battles them and he says, have you not read what God said? And then he quotes scripture. We have the written word is the living, speaking, ever present in every generation, communique from the triune God himself to every believing set of ears. And even to non-believing set of ears, but of course they aren't in the covenant. They don't have this guidance and assurance and blessing that we want them to have, that I want you, listener, to have. So anyway, know your Bible. God will speak then into every situation in your life. Make decisions, whatever they are. You want to know you're in the will of God, know your Bible. Number two, pray. Pray, ask God for guidance and wisdom and strength and insight and, you know, all the requisite necessities to life, patience, strength, conviction. Pray for those things. Ask God for them. And then ask again and ask again and again and again. Continue to pray. If you can bring others in on your prayer, do that. So you pray alone in your closet. You might come walk around fields at midnight and pray. Pray. Pray to God. Ask him to give you wisdom and to let you trust and lean and discover that he is that sufficient source for strength. In fact, that pray that you might understand where your feeble strength ends, God's immutable and inexhaustible strength begins. Folks, this is good news, but we need to learn these things from Scripture. We need to think about them. Pray for insight into them. Do that. And number three, when it comes to making decisions, to know you're in the will of God, seek after godly counsel. Men, women who are doing one and two, you believe, in their lives longer than you. Would be a good general rule for that. But it could be a contemporary. It could be somebody else. Ask them, if you're having trouble figuring some things out, what to do. If you do that, those three things, Christian, this is for the believer, this is for the Christian. If you read your Bible, you know what it says, it'll inform certain subjects more than it informs others, for sure. For example, the Bible will never tell you that you should marry Susie, but it will tell you what kind of woman you should marry. And if Susie, sir, is that kind of woman, marry her. She's the one. Right? Ladies, Christians, for you, the Bible will not tell you whether or not you should marry Bill. But if Bill is the kind of man the Bible tells you should marry, marry Bill. He's the one. So it'll inform certain things, you know, in ways that it doesn't inform others. The Bible's never going to tell you whether you should be a lawyer. It's not going to come out and say, you should be a lawyer, Joe. But if the law is something honorable to you, you might find in Scripture where it says, do honorable things. It's in there, I promise. And you find that something, you know, you want to do. But there's not going to be levels of detail there like there is with a spouse or something, you know, whether you should steal in a business deal, right? I mean, that's going to be pretty clearly covered. So not all matters are equally exhausted. Some really are, and some aren't. Seek godly counsel. What should I do, pastor, friend, counselor? What should I do regarding this? What do you think? Here's what I think you should do. Believer, if you are doing these things, some combination of them, however this works in your life, and some decisions just take longer to make than others, and sometimes they seem to be made for us a little easier than others, wherever you are, and whatever that is, my friend, you can know that God is 100% the captain of your ship. You're not the captain. God is. And that's really good news because he knows where the dock is. He knows where the rocks under the current are and where the downed trees are that you don't want to run into. He knows where the channel is. He knows where the rough water is. He knows the green pastures. He leads you beside still waters. Do you think his hand is shriveled today because you got an iPhone? Do you think that God is weak? He's an eternal being. Bro, I realize now in my late, well, upper to late 40s now that I'm in, I'm getting closer to 50 now than I am to 40 as of this month. My arms and the strength in them ain't what it was 20 years ago. Okay, maybe 10 years ago, let's say, right? Or 20, okay. 20 some years, I had strength, man, that ain't there anymore. And that's okay. God's not like me. His arm is not weakened. We might be weak. We might think we got a better way, and God lets us go that way. He doesn't force you to do things you see no wisdom in doing. Believer, you have the privilege then of obeying God, seeking His word, seeking things from God that are more than you think. Because the Bible talks about this God who does exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So is this a part of our theology? Is this a part of what we pray when we pray and confess these things? Do we take this into counseling when we need it? Pastor, what do you think I should do? Right? Good questions if you need to ask it. Or just, hey, Chris, what do you think I should do? To a friend. Somebody that is in, knows their scripture, somebody that does pray, ask him. You can know you're in the will of God because he's sovereign over your life. Don't you want to prove that? Don't you want to experience God's guiding hand in your life? Listen, he's in control whether we put him in control or not. But for those who learn to trust in him, to see, it's been well said that those who, those who put everything in God's hand will soon see God's hand in everything. You ever heard that statement? It's wonderful. Don't you want to prove that? So give of your money, give of your time, give of your skills. And give it all to Jesus. Lay it down. Die to your desires. The wisest of us know what that means. The wisest believer knows that to have God's will, number one, as I said already, it's going to end well for you, believer. Verily, verily, Jesus said, whoever believes in me and in him who sent me has eternal life. Does not come into judgment, but is already passed from death to life. John 5:24. Whoever believes in me, him who sent me, has eternal life and will not come into judgment. He's already passed from death to life. It will end well for you. But between now and that day, where are you? Is the Lord finding you someone who trusts in him? Listen, your heart will waver. You will doubt, what did I do wrong, Lord? That's natural to do, but we're not just natural people if we're in Christ. We're not just natural people. There's supernatural truth that God has given us. Do we confess it? Do we believe and confess it? Now, if we are, if we're doing it, then just like anything in life, you will begin to see it, Christian, show up in your life. You will begin to see the faithfulness of God demonstrated, and then it becomes, if we ever get through, right, the initial doubt and into trusting in Christ, it might start to look more like what we expect from God, that he'll do the unexpected, but we expect him to do it, maybe. One preacher used to say, someday somebody's actually going to believe this Bible we keep preaching. Is that you? Or you just, you know, kind of getting by in life and believing God for just a, you know, your piece of the pie, man. American dream. I'm not. Maybe I've been duped by it a little bit in my own life and just believing that I can get by. I don't want to just get by. I don't want to just scrape by in ministry. I don't want to just see God trickle a little bit in my life. I want to see the river of living water flowing out of my life to others. I want to see people blessed as I'm the Christian in their life that they need, just like in my times of need, there were Christians in my life. And by the way, there's been far too few of them. I have been more disappointed by the church than anybody else. Men who ordained me, men who blessed and guided me 20 years ago, 10 years ago, caught in sexual immorality, no longer in ministry, or sadly, some even still. Yikes. May God restore them. You know, I've been more hurt by being misled by people and people seemingly not caring about me at all than there should be. But what about us? If we see that, do we say, the church is a joke? It's like any other Rotary Club. People come together for ideas they believe in, but there's no supernatural reality to the love Christians have for one another. So I might as well not go to church, because when I need people, they aren't going to be there anyway. Could you be in someone's life something better than that? Somebody that loves them in adversity, a friend is born for it, Scripture says, is for adversity. You know, could you be that in someone's life that they see God because of you? Because I promise you, when you need it and somebody's there for you in that way, it's amazing. It's wonderful. It's confirmational. It's transformational. It's sanctifying. It is a blessing. Don't you want to be a blessing? And by the way, even with this, Jesus, you know, talking about money, talking about whatever it is, the principle is the same. It is better to give than to receive. So the more you give, the more habit you get of people giving back to you. Don't you want that? If you're a Christian, you should. You can. Scripture invites you to consider these things, believe these things, and put them into practice. It begins with knowing the promises of God. So again, know your Bible. If you know your Bible, you know what I'm saying is true. It begins with knowing that and confessing it, believing it. And I promise, as you do, the opportunity will come for you to express, to exercise that confession. And it's at that point that God is putting you to the test. He is putting you to the test. And if you look at the process of steel and how it's hardened, have you ever seen one of those massive machines that just slams the steel burning hot, you know, cylinder down, and then they turn it on its side and smash it down even more, and then turn it over again, smash it down. The steel is tempered by the pressure and by the fire. That is very much the imagery that Scripture gives. Your faith being refined like in a fire, strengthened. It comes out of that as something it wasn't going into it. And so if you want to see God at work, I promise you, it's not going to come easy. It is when the world looks and says, why are you carrying that bag of bricks? In your heart, you can know the one they're carrying leads to condemnation. The one you're carrying leads to life. So we all got bags of bricks. The one you're carrying, sinner, leads to eternal fire. The one I'm carrying leads to eternal light and life and peace. I'd rather carry this one. And you can have that, and you can know that, and I pray that you do. Let's pray, and I'll wrap this up with you here tonight. Thank you for hearing me out. I pray that this is a blessing, that it stirs up in you a desire to want to see God, be God, the same God of Scripture that has shown himself in all the exploits he's done, that you and I can go and read for thousands of years, literally back to our father Adam, many of the works of God. Now, as John said, if all of his works were captured, even Jesus's in his incarnation, it would seem. Although I think that scripture speaks of Jesus in eternity, or since the beginning, our eternity, if you will, as created beings. The books of the world could not contain the works that Jesus has done. But the ones that we do have, the things that we do have, the sermons preached, the exploits shown in this fallen world, wicked men, but God being faithful, we have it all. Friend, don't you want to see that God at work? You can. In Wesley Chapel, Florida, you can. In Mineral Ridge, Ohio, you can. In Punjab, Pakistan, you can see God at work. It'll take the refining. But I hope you want to see it, and I hope you know how to get it. I'm telling you how to get it, not because it comes from me. This is from Scripture, this ideology. Believe, confess, and when the testing comes, know that that's what it brings. But then through that, when you go through and you look back and you see that your faith has not wavered, you may have. So many things may have seen. You didn't do it perfect. Grace to you, but God kept you. Folks, you lean on that staff just a little more. You lean on it a little more, and you learn it didn't break. Don't listen to the world. Don't even listen to yourself. Listen to God. I hope this stirs you up to consider it, and that God will give you specific ways and things, even this week, that you can do to see this in your life. Let's pray. Lord, I want to pray for everyone listening to this. I pray for myself as I remind myself of these things today, as the position I wanted at a church did not go through, and my emotional roller coaster goes up and it goes down and it goes up and it goes down. And every fear that I have of inadequacy and of failure, and that I'll never be able to do and be the man that I want to be for you, comes against me. Just as things like that come into all of our lives, Lord, I pray for, as I'm reminding myself of your faithfulness, anybody listening to this in their lives, wherever they are right now, whatever their Thursday has looked like. I know what mine's looked like. It's one of the worst days of my life. Without a doubt, one of the worst days of my life, Lord, this Thursday. But your grace is sufficient. Your strength is made perfect in our weakness. So, Lord, let us understand that we are indeed weak. The world might look and say, oh, Christianity is a crutch. They don't know. It's actually a whole hospital. It's a whole ICU for broken, sinful people. But, Lord, it's what you provide, and it's what we need. And we define strength, therefore, very differently. The world might define strength as self-sufficiency, but it's foolish. It's condemned. It's going to the flames. The Christian can describe strength, describe it as leaning on that staff. We might look feeble, but we've got a God behind us that parts seas, that creates galaxies. And we pray to you in our feeble little lives where we doubt and fear. God, build us up in this generation. Teach us to walk in your ways. Teach us your word. Give us a passion for your word to know it and study it. Teach us to pray, to acknowledge who you are, to put our needs before you, to give thanks for you, to pray to you, to give thanks, to pray for others, and bring our needs together to you as individuals, families, churches, the church universal, militant. Let us do all of this unto you. And let us seek counsel when we need it. Let's not be afraid to ask, to know who to ask. And if we're the ones that somebody else is asking, let us be that person in someone else's life, that counselor that can help and bless and be there when they need it, any of these things, to help pray, to help study, and to give counsel. Lord, help us to be what we need others to be in our lives, in the lives of others. And God, we want to see you glorified. We want to see you honored. We want to see your word magnified, lived out, love among the brethren, truth, guidance, strength. I'm so sick of talking about where we should be when we're not. Oh, I should love my wife better. When is it that we in all humility can say, I do love my wife as Christ commanded? And we're not seeing that as arrogant presumption, but actual practiced principle. For example, Lord, let us not talk about, oh, someday I'll trust in you. Someday I'll believe this. What about now? What about tonight? Whatever someone is going through, Lord, it will end well for the believer. The one who believes in Christ, died for their sins, rose again from the dead for their justification, they will not be disappointed. That's what your word says. Will not be disappointed, will not be ashamed. But Lord, we are weak. Consider our frame again. We are but dust. We doubt. We don't know our Bibles. We don't pray right. We ask for things, but we ask amiss. Oh God, how often do we do this? We don't ask for counsel. And so, Lord, you leave us to ourselves. But the wise among us will learn at some point, we got to pay the bill if the lights are out. So God, help us to do it. Help us to be wise and humble servants, to walk with you and to trust you to be who you are in our lives. It doesn't come overnight, but Lord, may it come. And thank you for anybody listening to this, wherever they are. God, I pray you would change their circumstances for the better. Wherever they are, whatever's going on, I pray that your word, Spirit of God, would change financial situations, health, bring healing, health situations, Lord. Bring guidance in job and career, transportation, getting a baby, having a baby. Lord, all these issues that we've got, Lord, show your power. We ask you to. I pray, I don't know when someone listens to this, but wherever they are, whenever that is, God, that you know that they would be listening to this and praying this with me wherever they are. God, would you help them to confess their trust in you, to believe, help refine them in this time. Remind them why they came to Jesus and the surety of their salvation. And let that be like the landmark that they can see at the end of whatever road they're on as a bright and welcoming and refreshing finish. God, that doesn't make today's struggles easy, but it does put them in perspective. And God, for that ever to be possible, it's by your grace. It's not by our strength. It's not by our wisdom. That you give these things to those who are seeking it in the ways we're discussing. But it's all your grace. You give yourself to those of us who are seeking you, to anyone who seeks you. Your burden is light. God, help us to carry it well. Your yoke. Help us to carry it well. Thank you for this time to talk into this person's life, and I pray that it motivates them to trust in you, that they would actually get angry with themselves for not trusting in you when they need to tell them the flesh, stop not trusting, and help them to trust, Lord, and be blessed in it and refined and sanctified. Lord, we honor you. We thank you for your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.